I'm sure glad to be here. And I have a word for you today that I believe is straight from God. Amen. It's for the here. It's for the now. If you're here today in this moment, you are meant to be here. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. I know I believe that. Amen. We're getting close to the end of summer. It's a little cooler today. I hear some booze out there. And that means we're getting close to the end of golf season. I'm not really a golfer, but it reminds me of the most epic golf match ever played. It was between Moses and Jesus and this old guy, okay? Now Moses steps up to the tee. He takes a swing, hits the ball straight into the water. Moses says, no problem. He walks up to the water, pulls out a staff, puts it in the ground, parts the waters, walks on dry ground, hits the ball right into the hole. He's one under par. He's happy. Next up, Jesus. He goes up to the tee, pulls out his club, takes a swing, veers off into the water again. These guys aren't great golfers. But Jesus says, I got this, right? He goes, he walks on the water, takes his club, hits it in, one under par. Now this old guy sees this. Man, he comes up to the tees, doesn't know what he's going to do. He hits the ball, and it goes right into the water again. But as his ball goes into the water, a fish comes, grabs it in his mouth, jumps out of the water. At the same time, an eagle soars down, grabs the fish, carries it over the hole. The fish spits the ball out straight into the hole. It's a hole in one. Man, Jesus looks at the old guy and says, Dad, that's not fair. Well, it's a great joke. All right. So we're in a series called Heart and Soul, and I decided to start with some laughter because it's good for the heart. It's good for the soul, and we're called to take care of our hearts. Take care of our souls. It's so important. Scripture says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Everything we have, we got to give to God. We got to be all in. We got to sell out. When you begin a relationship with Jesus, he comes and he saves your soul. He rescues your soul. Your soul is going to damnation. It's going to hell. But because of the sacrifice Jesus made, because of the great sacrifice he made at the cross, our soul has a chance at new life. Our soul can be brought into a place that is in eternity with God in heaven. Isn't that amazing? It's so important. So many people here today, we call ourselves Christian and we live according to God's word, and that is amazing because we're saved by grace. Today I want to speak on a subject that I think is vitally important into keeping our souls healthy. It's one of the most things that we have to do. Actually, we have to refrain from doing. I've titled this message, Worry Not. Worry Not. We're in this time, in this age, just full of fear, full of anxiety. You can kind of sense it around you. If you're really honest with yourselves, you know there's a lot of fear going around. A lot of anxiety, and this happens. These are natural feelings. But a result of these feelings is that we are caused into worrying, and that's not okay. So many people here today are guilty of worry. Worry can infiltrate our lives, and it can keep us stuck in a bad situation. All worry does is it brings us down, and it literally keeps us out of God's will. It keeps us from knowing the truth of the gospel. Worry can imprison us. Worry can hold us captive. Do you know that? We are set free once we have a relationship with Jesus, who the Son sets free is free indeed. But we are not living out in that freedom if we continue on in our worry. So I challenge you guys today, let's work on this thing called worry. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, I invite you in here today. I ask that you just take over this service. You take over this message, Father. I just give it completely to you, God. I pray for the hearts and minds of those who hear it today, Father, that it would be open. Yeah. God, that there would be no harshness or hardness in their heart, God, but you would break down those walls surrounding their ears, surrounding their eyes. God, I pray in the spiritual that you would take down these walls, that your Holy Spirit would be able to penetrate each one of us, and we could leave here today with a healthier body and a healthier soul. Amen. I'm going to open up with a verse found in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. This is the verse I read that kind of got me on this whole sermon. Worry weighs a person down. An encouraging word cheers a person up. So the way to combat worry is through encouragement. So today I have a word of encouragement for you guys. This isn't a teaching or a rebuking. I want to really encourage you guys and encourage the worry right out of you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is Jesus speaking, and he points out this truth. To not worry about tomorrow, because there's enough to worry about today. Why would you pile on top of whatever you have to deal with in this moment with stuff you can't even control in the future? And Jesus is pointing this out. And if we're honest, we're all guilty of worrying about tomorrow. We are. We are concerned about our finances, about health, about safety. We're concerned about politics and where this nation is headed. We are over-concerning ourselves with some of these things that aren't happening today. They're happening tomorrow. It's out of our control. All worry is a lack of trust in God. Lack of trust. Worry is our inability or even our unwillingness to trust and obey God. That's kind of a painful word to hear. You know, when God was telling me this truth, I was like, you know what? That's true. That's just like disobeying God. If I came up here today and said, you guys are all disobeying God, I'm sure some eyebrows would be raised, some backs would get up. I mean, not me. I am obeying God. I am on the straight and narrow. And you're reading the Bible and you're praying and you're worshiping. But I'm here to tell you today, if you have worry in your life, then you can't obey. You can't trust fully in what God says. Because Jesus says, do not worry. Plain and simple, do not worry. Doesn't say worry sometimes. He doesn't say worry when things are really, really bad. He says, do not worry. I'm guilty of this as well. We need not to deny that we worry sometimes and continue in our ignorance. We need to accept the fact that we have worry in some areas of our lives. We've got to figure out how to deal with this, guys. We've got to figure out how to overcome our worry. And in order to overcome worry, we must continually remind ourselves of our past, rest in the present, and have hope for the future. That's what I'm going to be talking about today. So number one, remind ourselves of our past. We all have a past. We all have a life that is going on, and then yesterday is our past. 10 years ago is our past. Some of us have a longer past than others, depending on how long we've been on this earth. We also have a collective past as a humanity. This is called our history. And it's so important to learn about history, because if you learn about history, then the bad things won't repeat itself. So you look back and you learn, and you can actually glean good things that we've done in the past and implement them today. Your life before you were a Christian, this is also your past. Right? The Bible says when you become a Christian, you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Our old lives are dead, but they're not truly forgotten. It's a healthy exercise sometimes to look back at who you were before you were a Christian. Not to live that life, but just to remind yourselves of where you were, how you could do better. This is so important. Just by looking back sometimes, it can remind you of how good you have it today. Sometimes we complain about today and we worry about today and we say we're not where we thought we'd be. But if you take a minute and think about yourself years and years ago and compare your old self to your present self, you'd be surprised at how good you feel about yourself. Because you have come a long way. You have changed a lot of things. You've grown wiser. Right? My life before Jesus, it wasn't great. I was a person full of fear, full of anxiety, and when Jesus saved me, he took those things away. He literally took those away in the spirit. But sometimes, when I go through my day-to-day lives, I don't remember that. I don't think about that. It's not on my mind. So I need to remind myself. We all need to be reminded of who we are. We need to be reminded of who we are in Jesus. I have some verses that will help you remind you of who you are in Jesus. I encourage you guys to write these down if you're taking notes. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Through him who loved us. That is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Through Jesus, we are overcomers. Doesn't that feel good? Next verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wow, to God, we are a masterpiece. Our God created everything, and he says that we are created in his image. We are his handiwork. You know, as a carpenter at work, I make things with my hands and I get to see the fruits of my labor. And I just picture God looking at us and being like, yes, you are my masterpiece. We need to be reminded of that sometimes. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into the wonderful light. I love this verse because it points out two beautiful truths. The first truth it points out is that you are chosen. Amen?
Amen.
You are not here by accident. It's not by random chance or luck. If you're here today, it's no accident. You are chosen. God chose you to be part of his family. And his family is a royal bloodline.
Amen.
And God is our Father. If you have kids here today, you know how much you can love them and care for them and nurture them. You know, I love my kids. I would do anything for my kids. I would give my life for my children. But I am not a perfect person. But God is perfect. He is the perfect Father. How much greater will he care for us? How much greater will he love us? And we're not just part of any royal family, but Jesus is not just a king. He is called the King of Kings. Over everything, the Lord of Lords. That is your bloodline. That is what we're called to be a part of. And the second truth in this verse, it's just as important. We're called out of darkness and into the light. Everything gets better in the light. I feel it does. Sometimes a lot of our worry and a lot of our roots of our worry can be because we are living things in the darkness. We are keeping things hidden. We are keeping things away from God, away from other fellow believers. But once you bring those things into the light, they lose all power over you. They have no control over you. That's why it is great when we become a Christian, because what was dark is brought into the light. And we have that freedom. This is our past. This is reminding us who we are. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are God's handiwork, a masterpiece. We are part of a royal bloodline, and we have been brought into the light and been made aware of the greatest truth. Keep reminding yourselves of where you come from. You're no longer a slave to fear, but you are a child of God. Point number two, rest in the present. Rest in the present. I love that. All too often, we get caught up in just being busy. Many times, this busyness happens so much in our minds, where we just don't stop thinking. We keep going through things, worrying. We stress over the wrong things. We stress over things we've done in our past that we can't change. And we stress over things tomorrow that haven't happened yet, right? This is how we work. This is how humans work. And if we're worried about the future, it's going to keep us frozen. There's a beauty that comes when you learn to rest in the present. All you really have is this moment. Yesterday, it's gone. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. All you have is today. And if that's all you have, when you worry, it'll steal your present. You won't experience it. You miss out on your present. If you're in a constant state of anxiousness, you're going to be ineffective and reaching your God-given purpose. You're also going to be ineffective at reaching other people for Jesus. And you don't want that. God has you right here, right now, for a purpose. Getting distracted by all there's to do in the world, and all you can do, that worldly things, it's going to be missing out on your purpose. Jesus was the perfect example of living in the present. You look at Jesus through his ministry. He walks around. He engages with people. He heals people. He lays hands on people. He doesn't miss out on a single opportunity. He chooses to hang out with the least of these, the poor, prostitutes, tax collectors, the sick, people with leprosy. This is who Jesus is intentionally hanging out with each day, present in the moment, resting in the present. There's one interaction with Jesus that shows us how we shouldn't get caught up in being busy. But we need to take time and rest in the present, is found in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Just let that soak in. We see Jesus tells Martha she is worried about many things. "Martha, you're worried about many things. You're stressing over many things." How many people here can relate to that? Where people saying you're worrying about many things. You're stressing about many things. You're stressing about finances or your list of chores that you have to get done. You know, some people love to make lists, and if they don't get every single thing done on that list, then they stress out about it, right? It's who we are as a people. How many people can relate to Martha when she says, "Hey, you guys should be doing more. You guys should be helping out. How come I'm the one who's always doing the work? How come I'm the one who always has to work harder than everyone else? I need a little help here," right? I've been there. Honestly, I've done that. It's tough. Jesus corrects Martha. He tells her the only thing is needed in this moment is what Mary has chosen. Mary chose what is better. Mary, she sat at the feet of Jesus and she rested in the present, taking in what Jesus had to say. You know, if Jesus were here right now, wouldn't you just want to sit at his feet and listen? I would. I wouldn't care what needs to get done. I wouldn't care about lunch getting made. No. I would just want to soak up every single word. And Jesus says, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to rest in the present. We worry so much. We worry so much and we miss out. The Bible tells us many times to rest. Guys, rest is so important. And we are getting less and less rest in today's society. You look in Scripture, and I have a few verses here, but there are so many about rest. Matthew chapter 11, 28. "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Come to the Lord, he'll give you rest. The following verse, 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." It's not just our bodies or our minds that need rest. We literally need rest from our souls, and the only place you can get rest for your soul is a relationship with Jesus. It's in those times of prayer, in those times of worship, in those times of reading the Bible and getting to know who he is. Psalms 116, verse 7. "Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." It's not just one-time thing. We've got to go back continually to the well, seeking that rest. Exodus chapter 33, verse 14. "The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." It's not just at a certain part where we meet the Lord and he gives us rest. But we can actually walk around throughout our days, have God with us, giving us our rest. As we're working, as we're doing things, as we're interacting with people, it can be an ongoing thing. We're called to pray without ceasing. And when we do that, the Lord will come us and give us rest without ceasing. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. "For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work, just as God did from his." We all know this. The Lord made the earth and everything in it in the universe 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested. And we're called to have that day of rest as well. You know, I can be terrible at this sometimes. There's always deadlines. There's always things to get done. And you feel you have to work. You have to work. But I encourage you, take a day. Take a day to rest. Don't compromise on this. Take the day. It is scriptural. It is biblical. We are called to do it. Psalms 91, verse 1. "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." Amen. We can actually rest in God's shadow. We're told that God goes before us. And as he goes before us, he casts an amazing shadow that we can walk along in. We are protected in that shadow. We are kept safe in that shadow. We are nurtured in that shadow. We are made into the people that God wants us to be in that shadow. But we need to be following him. We need to be knowing him. We need to be in relationship with him. This is Psalms 91, verse 1. 911. It's an emergency call, right? We must take time to rest. Rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Take your burdens to Jesus. You weren't meant to carry this burden alone. Even though today in our society we're told, you know, get over it, buck up, carry on. You got this. But no, Jesus says, bring it to me. Bring it to me, lay it at my feet. Sit in the presence and rest. Trust and obey. When Jesus said, I'll take care of it all, he meant he's going to take care of it all. Worry is the opposite of trusting and obeying. You can't worry and you can't trust at the same time. It's so true. And until we can learn to rest in the presence, we're always going to be worried about something. That brings me to my third point. Hope for the future. This may be the most important point I'm speaking to you guys today. Many, many of our worries and concerns, they come from the future. We're worried what's going to happen tomorrow, or it's going to happen next month, next year. Some of us worry what's going to happen 10 years from now. You don't control that. That's why we worry over it. We don't have a crystal ball. We don't have an entire story written out of our lives where we can just skip to the end, read the last page, and be like, okay, good, happy ending. I'm satisfied. And then go on living our lives, right? You can do that when you read a book. I've done that sometimes. I won't even read the rest, but the ending is always the best. But our lives don't work that way, right? And because they don't work that way, what do? We worry. We worry because we're honestly control freaks. We want to control everything. We want to know what's going on. The unknown scares us. It causes us fear and anxiety. But God says, trust. Trust me with your future. The future comes down to perspective. It's how you view it, right? If you view all the negative things that can go wrong throughout your life, even throughout your day, then you're going to be filled with worry. That's all there is to it. But if you're able to let go of those negative thoughts and give them to God, and say, God, take it. Take it from me. I don't want this worry anymore. Then seek his will and passionately, relentlessly chase after God's ways. Then your worry, it gets replaced with hope. Turn your mourning into dancing, your sadness and sorrow into joy. This is what God does. He's in the business of doing this. He takes things that tear you down and he builds you up. Right? When God even corrects you and when you're rebuked, all he's doing is building you up. He's building you up. He brings joy for sadness. And you get a hope of a future that's filled with adventure and excitement and purpose. So many of us are wandering around there with no purpose, with no leading. And that's why we worry. But if you're in a relationship with God and you're constantly in prayer and fasting and reading the word and worshiping him, I guarantee you are going to find your purpose. David, he was a man described as a man after God's own heart. And when I think of people in the Bible that had a hope for the future, I am reminded of David. David was chosen to be the next king by the prophet Samuel at a very young age, but he had to wait years for that promise to be fulfilled. He could have allowed fear and worry to take him off course through the waiting, but he didn't. He was the youngest of all of his brothers, and he was tasked with staying home and tending the flock. His brothers went off to battle, right? They were closer to becoming the king than David was. But David didn't complain. He didn't worry. He stayed where he was at, and he trusted God. And he had a relationship with God. And he saved his flock from the mouth of the bear and the lion. All the while, God was preparing him, building him into something special, teaching him. And he didn't give up on the situation. He didn't feel it was hopeless, but he persevered. And he did his best to serve God at the place he was. Sometimes we struggle with that. We want to be further ahead than we are. We feel God's calling is not soon enough, or that things aren't coming to us soon enough. We're not making enough money soon enough. Our healing's not coming soon enough. But like David, we need to rest, and we need to be assured of the hope of our future. If God promises it to you, he is going to make it happen. And as each day, as a shepherd, he kept his flock safe. And one day, he's asked to bring food to his brothers while they're fighting in the army. And he walks up to this army, and he sees firsthand an entire army that is full of worry, full of fear. Each day, this giant comes out. His name is Goliath. And he comes out and he taunts the Israelites. And he says, anybody here want to fight me one-on-one? Whoever wins, that army will win. And each day, what happens? The Israelites turn away and they leave. They don't want anything to do with Goliath. They are afraid. But that day that David comes, bringing food to his brothers, what happens? Things are a little different that day. He looks at the Israelites and he's like, what are you guys doing? Our God is so much stronger than this measly 9-foot giant, right? He wanted to make a difference. He wanted to make a thing. And as you read through, David was not worried. David knew that he served a God that was bigger than any giant. David knew of the great purpose and plan God had on his life. And David was not going to let this giant keep him from the future that God had for him. As you read through the story of David and Goliath, there is not one single time where you see David being worried. That's amazing to me. The whole process, there's this whole story, he's going through the motions. He goes to Saul, and Saul says, you can't wear that, you need to put on some armor. And he puts his armor on, he's like, no, it's too big, the sword's too heavy. I'll just bring my stick and this little sling, right? But he's cool, he's good with it. He's like, yeah, I'm good, God's got this. He is never worried, not one single time. And that confidence ultimately leads him to defeating Goliath. He has victory, he sees a victory. And this confidence, it did not come from himself, but it was a divine confidence. It was installed in him by God. David knew that with man, it was impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And we see that throughout his life. David relies on God. David trusts in God. David obeys God, and he does not worry. The story of David and Goliath shows us that when worry is out of the equation, and it's replaced with the great hope for the future, then nothing can get in our way. Nothing can keep us from our highest goals and our highest purposes that God has for us. I believe all of us as believers should have this great tenacity. I believe that all of us should have that spirit of courage inside of us woken up, that it should be ignited, amen? God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but he gave us a spirit of courage. When he created us as his masterpiece, that is who he made us. He made us ready. We have a hope. We have a future. And we're not going to let any giants keep us from attaining that future. Amen? Amen? There's no way they can come against us. It's all about perspective. There's another story. 12 spies were sent into the land by Moses to report if the land was good. 10 come back. They were full of fear. They were full of worry. They said, we can't go into that land. It's full of giants. But 2 of them come back, and they bring a different report. You know this story. They are excited. They say, yeah, there's giants, but there's also giant resources. There is giant possibilities, and there is a giant promised land that God said he would give it to us. And they had no worry, and they knew that God would provide what he had promised. We are called to be of that yoke. If you are a follower of God and you believe God is real and all-powerful and all-knowing and everywhere, then you know that this is true and God can take this land. Today we all stand in the same land. We all stand in the same country. What is our perspective going to be? Are we going to see these giant obstacles and we're going to allow them to keep us frozen? Or are we going to trust and obey in a giant God who has great plans for you and wants to take you higher? It's a choice. Do you know that God gives us free will? So many people blame everything happening in their lives on their circumstances, and yeah, bad things happen to us. But the truth is, we still have a choice how to respond. How to respond in the trial. We all have a choice. I encourage you today not to worry. Don't worry. Have faith over fear. We are not born worriers, but we are born warriors. Right? Today, we are warriors. I want you guys to say that with me today. We are warriors. We are warriors. We are warriors. That's who we are built to be. We are built to be warriors. There is a war going on out there in the spiritual realm. And we are called to put on the armor of God, and we are called to fight. We are not called to sit idly by. Amen? Amen? We need to rise up. We need to stick together as a people of God, and we need to fight in the name of Jesus in the spiritual realm. We need to be praying. We need to be fasting. We need to be getting together, and we need to be unified. Unity is the cry of God's heart for us in this day and age. There is so much coming up against us, so much attacking us. And God says, people, come together. Come together and be who I created you to be. Be who I remind you are every single day in the Bible, in scriptures. His words back then are the same today. They're just as important. They're just as true. I want to leave you with some verses that'll just inspire you. Hopefully they'll give you a little bit of courage where it's lacking. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 and 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. You feel weak sometimes? You know, in our weakest, we can be the strongest. That's what Jesus says. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And that is what we are called to be today. You may feel like you're getting old, worn out, or tired, but God wants you to rise up on the wings of eagles. Psalms chapter 121, verses 1 to 3. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. God is not going to fall asleep. God has not forgotten about us. God will hear us when we pray to him. And he has made the heavens. He has made the earth. We can see the mountains. They're not that far from us. When I go to the mountains, I'm like, wow, these are amazing. But our hope doesn't come from the mountains. Our hope comes from the guy who made those mountains, right? Our hope comes from the guy who made you and made me and controls every single situation. And I'm not telling you guys that it's easy not to worry. And you guys might be thinking, well, Burton, you're up there. You just have this easy life, so of course you cannot worry. But I'm telling you, I have a lot of trials. I have a lot of struggles, a lot of things I deal with. But we need to choose not to worry about them. Because what does Jesus say? You can't even add one day to your life by worrying. So why are you going to waste your time worrying? What good does it do? Give me one good thing worrying can cause. Right? It does nothing for you. So you need to choose not to worry. Yes, circumstances are tough. Yes, times are hard. But we need to rise above those. And we need not to worry. We need to be excited. We need to give it all to David. Or to God, sorry. David was great too. Right? When David came back from his battle and he was glorious and he won, you know what he did? He danced. He danced in his underwear. And his wife was like, what are you doing? You're crazy. And David said, I'm going to become even more unashamed than this. I'm going to keep on praising God. I don't care what other people think. And we shouldn't care what other people think either. We know who we are in God. That is what is important. Not what the world thinks of us. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written? For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. And all these things we have been more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yeah. So in short, what can separate us from God? Nothing. Nothing. Not even anything in this earth, but it says not even angels, not even demons. We have more power than the angels and the demons through Christ our Savior. Isn't that amazing? We need to start taking that power. We need to start using that power because God said, I'm not going to leave you. I'll be right there with you. You need to believe it. I have one more verse here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. It's simple. Your worry, your fears, your stress. You just bring it to Jesus. Right? Mary was sitting at his feet, listening in the present, putting it at his feet. And when Jesus was on the cross, dying for our sins, We just bring it and we lay it at his feet because he paid the price. He took on the burden. Death has no more sting. Our sin has no more hold or control over us because of Jesus. Worry and anxiety has no hold on us. It says in Philippians, you know, be anxious about nothing. We're not supposed to have any anxiety in us, but instead, bring everything to God in prayer. If you're struggling with something, bring it to God in prayer. Don't allow it to take root in your mind, because so often that's where the battle is lost. Before it begins, it is in our minds. Honestly, we can be defeated before we put our foot out the door sometimes. And Satan knows that, and he loves to attack us in our minds. Same MO, right? Lie, steal, destroy. That's what Satan does. And he works it up in our minds. So we need to guard against that. We need to be prepared for battle. I encourage you guys to take everything to the Lord in prayer. Every worry that pops into your head, don't be worried about the future. Be excited for the present. Be excited for what you have. Be excited for what God is doing. Be excited for what God is giving you. Amen?
Amen.
Let's do that and let's get rid of worry. Kick it out of the door. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done for us. God, we thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die for our sins. God, that we don't have to worry about the sting of death. We don't have to worry about the guilt of sin. We don't have to worry about the punishment that comes with being separated from you. Because once we have Jesus in our hearts, all you see is your perfect son, Jesus, God. You don't see our sin. You don't see our inequity. You know, as we're praying here today, I just want to pray with anyone who hasn't made that decision to follow Jesus, to truly repent of their sins and ask him into their heart and begin that relationship. If that's you here today, you can repeat this simple prayer after me and begin that relationship with Jesus. All you have to say is, "Dear Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe only you can take away the sin in my life. I ask you into my heart. I give my life to you and choose to follow you all of my days. Thank you for saving me. Amen." Now, as we keep our eyes closed and our heads bowed, if anyone said that prayer for the first time, I just encourage you to lift up your hand. Take ownership of that decision if that's you. Just put that hand up. It's okay. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Father, for everyone that's being here and everyone that's in a relationship with you, God. God, I just encourage everyone here today as we go out to go out in confidence because you are so great and you are so big. And our confidence does not come from man, but it comes from you, Lord. Just like David fighting Goliath, God, as we go out and we face those giants in the world, Father, may you be our confidence. May you be our strength. May you be our hope, Father. We ask this in your holy, precious name. Amen.